Good morning, everybody.
Appreciate so much those kind words, Jeff, very much. And I especially appreciate what you said about Charlotte, because sometimes I'll go places and they're saying all this stuff about me, and I'm thinking, she's kind of behind so much of this, if not all of it. And so thank you very much for that. Ted Krigler, my goodness. Charlotte and I are so proud of him. What a fine young man. And to be at a point in life where he is a youth minister working with our grandson is just sweet. And for you all who have invested in him, He is doing well, and so I'm just so grateful for that, and I know you are as well. In your Bible, you might turn to the book of Exodus, the book of Exodus. Exodus 2. Now what? Exodus 2. During that, this is verse 23, during that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out. And their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And so God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. I'd just driven home from college and parked my car in the garage. A few minutes later, a gas flame from our dryer, which was also in the garage, gas flame ignited with the gasoline that was leaking from my car. And moments after I had gotten home, I stood outside and watched our house go up in flames. And my brother and my sister got out, and my mother, and I remember beating out the flames on the lower part of my left leg. Fire trucks in front of our house. And so that night, we would spend the night with our neighbors, the Jamesons, which were two houses down. And I remember laying there on this mattress on the floor, just thinking all over again about those flames. Remembering the burn on my leg. And I wondered, now what? That may be a question you've asked before. Now what? Sometimes we ask that question after we've been to the doctor and he says, I need to tell you some news that's not good. And you hear that news, and you wonder, now what? You lose your job. You've got bills. Now what? You thought you studied for the test, but you failed it. Now what? You get the phone call that no parent wants to get from your adult child. It seems that your daughter or your son and the spouse, why, they're going to get a divorce. Now what? And you wonder, as a parent, you know the question, where in the world did we go wrong? Now what? You turn on the news, and it's just one thing after another, and you wonder, now what? The book of Exodus, life is hard for God's people. In fact, they're at a point where in their slavery in Egypt, they cry out to God. They cry for help. It's hard. Now what? In Exodus chapter 5, if you'll turn there for a moment, Moses and Aaron go before Pharaoh. They're asking Pharaoh if he would let the people go. And not only will he not let the people go, but now he's no longer going to supply straw for them to make bricks, and the quote is going to be the same. Now what? Look for a moment at chapter 5, verse 22. Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Why, Lord, have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me?" I mean, here I am in church on a Sunday morning. I'm a good person. I'm trying to do the right thing. What in the world is going on? Ever since, verse 23, ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he's brought trouble on this people. I did what I thought I was supposed to do, and it's getting worse. And you've not rescued your people at all. God responds to Moses. Now you will see, chapter 6, verse 1, what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of the country. God said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself fully known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant." God says, "I am God. I've heard you. I've remembered my covenant." And now verse 6, he's going to remind them of some promises he's going to keep. "Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." There are 7 promises here. I will bring you out. I will deliver you. I will redeem you. I will take you for my people. I will be your God. I will bring you into the land, and I will give it to you. And what God does when we are discouraged is he says, "I want you to remember who I am, and I want you to remember that I have made you a promise or promises, and I'm going to keep every one of them."
Well, that's encouraging.
So really, you know, what Israel could have done, is they could have brought their anxiety and their uncertainty and their dread, they could have brought that to God in prayer, much like Moses did. And Israel could have clung to God's character and his promises. But that's not what that's not really what they did. This is going to sound awfully familiar. And I don't even know you. But I'm just saying, in terms of me looking in the mirror, this is pretty familiar. Look at chapter 6 and verse 9. Here's what Israel did. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. We really, those of you who are parents or you've got little kids or you've raised little kids before, you'd like for them to listen. You'd like for them to listen. And so if you say something, if you say, you know, I want you to take out the trash, I want you to clean your room, the dishes need to go in the dishwasher or whatever it is, and if it's not done, what do we do as parents? We all work from the same script. We check their hearing. We say, did you hear what I said? I mean, as if we're all sure that's the problem. They just didn't hear. And so we checked their hearing. Did you hear what I said? And of course they did. This text here says that, I mean, God went through, God reminded them of his good nature, his good character. I am God. I'm going to keep my promises. But Israel wouldn't listen. And then, it's not just Israel, it's Moses. Chapter 6, verse 12. But Moses said to the Lord, if the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips? One way to approach, sometimes when we just go through really tough times and we're asking the question, what now? There are times where no matter what God says, we're not listening. And then at times, I want to look in the mirror and say, well, you know, I don't really have what it takes anyway. And what I'd like to do for just a moment is just to remind me, what you and I can do when we hit this moment where we're saying, now what? One of the things I can do is I can learn to bring my dread and my uncertainty and my discouragement to God while I cling to Him. Okay, you can take this home. All right, here it is. Two hands. Two hands. With one hand, I want to encourage us to take all that mess and be ready to hand that over to God. With the other hand, I
want to cling to God. You know what God wants to hear from me? God wants to hear from me, from you. God wants me to come before Him with all that dread, uncertainty, and doubt, and to bring that to Him. When Moses said, chapter 5, verse 22, "Why, Lord, have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you have sent me?" And earlier in chapter 2, when the Israelites are groaning, God wants to hear that. All the mess that I experience, God wants to hear that. There are times when I have prayed, and with this hand, I came to the Lord, and I said to the Lord, "Lord, this is awful. This is a mess. I don't know what to do. I don't know what you want me to do." Bring all of that to God. But with the other hand, here's what He invites you and I to do this morning. To not just bring the mess to God, but to cling to God. To grip the very hand of God and to not let go. I mean, go back to 6. "I am the Lord. I've heard the groaning of the Israelites. I've remembered my covenant." And then He spells out one by one the promises that He's going to keep. One of the things I want to do on Sunday morning is to be reminded that God not only wants to hear about the mess I'm in, but for me to cling to God and to hold on. You watch any mama and daddy when little kids, well, I better not say it that way. Watch most mama and daddies when little kids are about to cross the street. What do? Grab their hand. Brothers and sisters will grab the hand of their little sister, their little brother. Why? Because we're crossing the street. You and I were never, ever meant to live on this earth without holding the hand of God. You say, "I don't have what it takes." Sure you don't. I don't either. I was never meant to live here by myself, doing it myself, figuring it out myself. You and I were meant to do two things. With one hand, we bring the mess to God. With the other hand, we cling to Him. All right, finally, that's always a good word. Finally, look at Philippians 4. Philippians 4, this is a real familiar scripture. "Rejoice in the Lord always," chapter 4, verse 4. I will say it again, rejoice. "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." The Lord is near. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Present your request to God. Do not be anxious about anything. With this hand, I bring everything that I can worry about. Do y'all know how to do a good worry? Some of us know how to get up in the middle of the night and start early. All right, you work the night shift, get up in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, get up, and the first thing that hits my mind is, what am I going to do? And once I say that, then in my mind it's even getting worse. Why, if this happens, then that's going to happen, and here we go. With this hand right here, present your request to God. Present everything that worries you. Present everything that makes you anxious. The two words, now what? Present that situation that caused you to say those two words. On the other hand, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. Cling to the Lord. The Lord is near. Present your request. Cling to the Lord. And look at what the result is. He says, verse 7, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how to figure it out. It transcends all understanding. The peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is for real. When you present all the mess in your life to the Lord while you cling to Him, same time, there is something in you given by God that is sort of a gift of calmness, a gift of peace. What I would encourage you to do this morning is just to consider this and take the first step. For you, the first step may just be handing all this mess over to God. For you, the first step may be not only handing the mess over to God, but clinging for dear life to this God. Now what? Life is often pretty hard. Sometimes things that happen just baffle us. But know this, our God is good, and He is faithful. And He wants to see our hands. The one that presents all of our mess and the one that clings for dear life to this God.